if you were to take a look and do a text study on today's gospel reading, you might see the connection between what Jesus did for the disciples and what he does for us today. So if you like taking notes during the sermon, I'll give you 7 points, but I'm going to only come back to one. If I tried to cover all 7, we would have to have lunch, a dinner break, a coffee break, and supper. We're not up for that. So stick with the plan? Okay.
I do like cake, though.
What's that?
I do like cake.
You do like cake. Well, we're going to have cake during Sunday school. Yeah. Point one. You ever notice that Jesus, in teaching the faith, it's never about individualism. It's about God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and God's people. It is personal, but it's not individualism. And in today's culture, we make faith individualism. We shy away from corporate worship. We shy away from getting together. And the disciples show us that as God's servants, they were together. They weren't sure what they were supposed to do, but they were together. Point two, being a Christian does not give you permission to be lazy. You wonder, where do I get that one? Well, it's simple. I have actually seen this in my own lifetime, but some people think that God should just, because he loves them, give them what they need, and they don't have to work. And so they are lazy. But if you see in the lesson today, Jesus had told them to wait and to stay in the city. And then he appears to them. And then he tells them to continue to wait until Pentecost happens. And they don't know what that means yet, but they're to wait. But while they were waiting, they weren't doing nothing. They were busy. They had jobs. Point three. Productivity changes when you know Jesus is in charge. Now, this is not a success, name it, claim it kind of part of it, the lesson, okay? Because there is that message. It's called a theology of glory. But when the disciples were not focusing on what it meant to have a risen Lord, living and even being fishermen by faith, they got nothing. The nets were empty. But the moment they do what Christ commands, things change. Productivity increases. I've known that with people. The Christian who is walking with God, praying before the kind of work they do, whether it was an auto mechanic or whether it was a technician on computer stuff. This Lord of ours guides us in all of our occupations and vocations. Point four. When we are not living by faith, it's not a surprise we do not see Jesus. You ever notice that? When we're not living by faith, that's also often accompanied by hopelessness, because they just don't see the hand of God. Point five, Jesus provides. I'm going to come back to that one. Point six, and it's not in this reading that you have on the bulletin, but the rest of the narrative is when Jesus dialogues with Peter and says, Simon, do you love me? And he asked him 3 times, just like Jesus, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And when he asked him the 3rd time, Peter got it. You know, and he was restoring Peter. But the instructions that with this love of Christ comes the love of others. And that's the thing about Christianity. Christianity, about a walk with Christ, is not selfishness. It's not self-centered. It's a love for God and a love for others. It's not an either or. And point seven, with Peter's denial comes the Lord's response of forgiveness. And I said, as I welcomed you. This is a confirmation lesson. But it's amazing what students in a confirmation class will ask. When studying a Bible lesson like this, they'll ask, where did the fish come from? I said, well, they got it in the nets. No. Where did the fish come from? Did you notice in the lesson it says Jesus was standing there, and then when Peter gets there, he noticed that there's a fire made and there's fish. Did you hear that part? Look on the bulletin. There's fish. It didn't say he was fishing. It didn't say he had a basket of fish. Then he had gone to the market. It didn't tell us. And sometimes, isn't that the way we are? And this is coming back to that point five, Jesus provides. One of the hard things that we have in our life in living by faith is we do not always accept what Jesus provided because we're always looking for something else. Or we're often looking for something more or something different. When the disciples were busy fishing, and they had the night toil, I don't think they were in a happy mood the next morning. It meant no income. But it's amazing that at the instructions of Jesus, who they did not recognize, they cast their nets. And just because of that faith, I think that's why they're obedient. Sometimes we don't even know why we do things, and I think it's just out of obedience. We can't really explain it. Because obedience to the Lord does not always fit logic or rational thought. It's simply surrendering to what the Lord says to do. Like, love your enemies. That doesn't make sense. But yet, we as God's people, we really do try to surrender to that and do that. When the disciples cast the nets on the other side, and here, then when the miracle happens of the 153 fish, they get it. The Lord provides. But he also provided before the work that they did, the net, the fishing, the gathering, the bringing it ashore. The Lord already has all that is needed. The Lord provides on the shore. The fish are cooking, and it tells you that. They came dragging the boat, or dragging the nets, you know, and they got out and they saw. The Lord provided the charcoal fire in place, fish laid out on it, and bread. It is beyond our comprehension how, at times in our life, the Lord puts things together in such a way that it works. You know the story, the actual narrative of Megan, our oldest daughter. And when we found out several years ago, this is the first brain tumor that was sitting right outside her brain, inside the bone, we thought, holy cow. Well, I didn't say those words. But you understand. How are we going to manage this? Then I hear about the surgeon, and he's only 3 years older than my daughter. Now I'm really nervous. But the Lord put this all together. Before the tumor ever existed, the Lord raised up a surgeon. And the surgeon had seen this cancer cell, this kind of tumor, once before during his residency. The occurrence of that tumor is 0.4% of all tumors. 0.4% of all the tumors that ever exist. That's the average occurrence of this particular tumor. What's the mathematical odds of a surgeon having seen the tumor before? And as a young man, to have the skill set to do such an intricate operation on a human brain. And after the surgery was over, the very next day they did a scan. And you have to understand, the tumor was the size of a golf ball, all right? And it had crunched the brain. The brain had acted like clay surrounding it in such a way. And that was the headaches. And then The next morning, they did the scan, and the brain was back into shape. The Lord provides. Now, as we were trying to get to Oklahoma, I did not have, I'll be honest with you, the Lord provides in my heart and in my mind. I think the disciples fishing did not have the Lord provides in their mind and in their heart. And the way the Lord provides is not about what we do or what we manufacture, how we, in ingenious kinds of ways, put pieces of the puzzle together. It's just an act of God in his marvelous way. Where the fish came from, I don't know. But the key is, and the answer is, the Lord provided. The Lord teaches us that he's there for us. And when we need, not what we want, when we need, there he provides that which is needed. He gives us in the Word of God as the living bread. He gives us himself, and he strengthens our faith for the challenges that we go through in life. And our challenges are not identical. And the way, even if it was the same kind of a challenge as far as the genre of it, we process stuff differently. And with all those variables, hasn't the Lord provided for you? Again and again and again. It's remarkable what the disciples then realize, that here is Christ, the risen Lord, victorious over the devil, over sin, and the grave. This is Christ our Lord, who provides and he feeds them. And he has brought them together in this unity of a relationship with him. Each one believing he is Lord, and each one knowing the other is a believer. It's a remarkable part about our faith. Confirmation Sunday for the kids later, it'll be four of them. They'll be sitting in the front pew, squirming, looking at their watch, waiting for the service to get over, to get out of the white robes. You have been there. I've been there. But at the same time, we gather in the Word and we trust what the Bible teaches us. That no matter what we will face and what we have faced, there our Lord has been and will be always. So the Lord provides. In this case, he gave them instructions. Fish on the other side of the boat. I'll bet you to them that seemed ridiculous. Right? And yet it worked. He provided the large catch of fish. The fishermen did not go, "Here, fishy, fishy, fishy," and all of them came, 153, right? And then they fit in a net that doesn't tear and rip. The fishing success was not their power, not in their control. We see that the Lord provides the food on the dry land. We talked about that. And the Lord provides the saving grace and the faith that even John would say, it is the Lord. To know it's him before he ever did anything. And to know it's him as he did things. And to know it was him who did things. The Lord provided. And then the directions for being children of God. That this is what Peter is to do, as all people are to do. To care for God's people, God's children. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. We do it in our home, in our parenting. We do it in the church as we support the mission and ministry, Sunday school, VBS, all of this. We're all involved, even if we're not physically present. We feed the lambs. And if we think about it, we're all lambs, aren't we? We're young and old alike, we are still the children of God. And in our conversations and in our words of encouragement and in our words of instruction, because we all have some wisdom, we feed one another to the glory of God's name. And we have a mission, a purpose for living. Confirmation is not one and done, right? It's not like school where we cooperate and graduate. Confirmation is about seeing Jesus again and again and again. And without a doubt believing, he will always be there to behold. In the name of Christ, God's peace and his presence be with you always. Amen.